Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Roll call for Tuesday, February the 6th. Anderson?
Here.
Almond?
Here.
Barresto?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
DeCaria?
Here.
Beck?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Foster?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Joe?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Massey?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Mockler?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Peck? Excused, Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Sessions?
Here.
Townsend?
Here.
Vasey?
Here.
Von Slater?
Here.
President Schiffer?
Here.
29 present and one excused.
Prayer by Reverend Gilbert.
Mr. President and Senators, yesterday as your chaplain, I went to Cheyenne United Medical Center East and had a visit with Senator Peck, and as I was leaving, I said, is there a word that you would like for me to carry to the Senate? And he pondered for a moment, and then he said, tell them I'm getting back on my feet. Let us pray. Eternal God, as you are now with us, so have you been with all preceding generations. We give you thanks for those who stood where we now stand, and for their deliberations and decisions of righteousness. We are mindful that life is fragile and our years are fleeting. So teach us to count our days and to make our days count, that we may gain a wise heart and a productive life. So enable us, O God, to live our lives in your favor and establish for us the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands to your eternal glory and your people's everlasting joy. Amen and amen.
Join in the pledge of
allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 5th, 2007, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Perkins, Chairman.
Are there any objections to the journal committee report? Hearing none, the report is adopted. Senators, we do not have a doctor of the day, but we do have a nurse, Nurse Tracy Nielsen from the Cheyenne Regional Medical Center, so she'll take care of everything that you need. Our thought for the day. Really? Doctor, welcome. I didn't realize you were in attendance. Okay, go ahead and get sick, Senator. It's okay, we got it. Thank you, sir, for coming. Our thought for the day. A synonym is a word you use when you can't spell the other one. Messages from the House.
February the 5th, 2007, from the House of Representatives, message number 267, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 128, Multi-State Lottery. Ayes 27, noes 31, absent 1, conflict 1. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
House bills on first reading. House Bill 250, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 250, sponsored by Representative White. peace officers, probation and parole agents, and act relating to criminal offenses. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 250 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 124, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 124, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, Eminent Domain 2, and Act Relating to Eminent Domain. Passed the House on an amended form on third reading, ayes 56, noes 4.
House Bill 124 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 304, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 304, sponsored by Representative Lockhart, Investment of State Funds, and Act Relating to the State Treasurer. Passed the House on third readings, ayes 59, absent 1.
House Bill 304 is assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 218, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 218, sponsored by Representative Floyd Escobel, Wyoming Cosmetology Act Amendments, an act relating to the Wyoming Cosmetology Act. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 218 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 63, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 63, sponsored by Representative Lubnow, County Officials Housing Allowance, and Act Relating to Counties. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 49, noes 10, excused 1.
House Bill 63 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 200, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 200, sponsored by Representative Peterson, Sale of Lands to Uinta County, and Act Relating to State Lands. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 200 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 270, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 270, sponsored by Representative Lubnow, Construction Contracts, Residency Requirements, and Act Relating to Construction Contracts with Public Entities. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 270 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Joint Resolution 8, first reading of our Joint Resolution.
House Joint Resolution Number 8, sponsored by Representative Floyd Escobel. Real ID Act Repeal, a joint resolution requesting Congress to repeal the creation of a national identification card and the implementation of the Real ID Act of 2005. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 49, noes 11.
House Joint Resolution 8 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 197, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 197, sponsored by Representative Throne, Environmental Quality Council Hearing Examiners, an act relating to the Environmental Quality Council, passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 197 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Reports from standing committees.
February the 5th, 2007, Mr. President, to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 19, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, DiCaria, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. February 6, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 83, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Allman, Burns, Cole, Massey, and Mockler, Senator Burns, Chairman. February 6, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 30, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, DiCaria, Larson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February 6, 2007. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 92, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, DiCaria, Larson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February 6, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 56, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, DiCaria, Larson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February 6, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations Election Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 9, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, DiCaria, Larson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February 6, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 4, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, DiCaria, Larson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February 5, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 18, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barrasso, Geis, Hastert, Johnson, Von Flatern, Senator Barrasso, Chairman. February 5, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 15, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barrasso, Geis, Hastert, Johnson, and Von Flatern, Senator Barrasso, Chairman. February 5, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 3, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barrasso, Geis, Hastert, Johnson, and Von Flatern, Senator Barrasso, Chairman. February 6, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 62, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Jobe, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February 6, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 64, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Jobe, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February 6, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 172, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Jobe, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February 6, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 254, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Jobe, Meyer, Nicholas Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 6th, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriation, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 4, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Job, Nicholas, and Peterson. No, Senators Meyer and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 5th, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 65, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Cooper, Beck, Larson, and Vasey, Senator Larson, Chairman.
Bills on second reading. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. May I have privilege of the floor a moment to talk about the budget?
Floor is yours, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you take out your goldenrod for this morning, you'll see that now that all of the bills that have crossed over have been profiled. So this is the status of each of the houses having passed their bills through. You'll see that in the tally for traditional funds available for appropriation, that there is $23 million left for further appropriation. Last week, there was a Supreme Court case that came out dealing with the method that the Department of Revenue has been using to evaluate oil and gas. You recall that was the issue about proportional profits, and the Supreme Court determined that royalties and production taxes are to be included in the direct cost ratio such that there will be a fiscal impact caused by that case. We're still investigating, but best guess right now is it will hit us about $27 million lost in either paying it back or credits against future royalties. So if you deduct the $27 million, we're going to be about $4 million on the negative side on that line. Now, you recall that we put from the projected revenues, we've got $56 million that was put into the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account. So if you take that $4 million off, you're down to about $52 million, rough dollars, that remains available for appropriations that's generated out of new dollars. That doesn't mean that we can't go looking for the old dollars, specifically the $180 million that was the transfer to the permanent mineral trust fund that's not yet to be deposited. And there's no reason why you can't or prohibited from looking at the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account balance for the dollars that we had previously saved. But at this point, we're about $50 million away from spending everything that is new dollars. And beyond that, you're starting to look at old dollars. Just a heads up, it's time now to start thinking about your priorities. When we bring up the budget next week, we know that there's a couple of economic development projects that are substantial in the $25 million range. We've got YDOT, City, Towns, and Counties, Business Ready Communities, the Water Account, Wildlife Trust Fund, and later on today I'll start adding on those up, but they're significant. And I know that a lot of you have shared those priorities and will begin to start figuring out how to pay for this, but it's time to really scrutinize every bill that comes through, and now you need to start thinking about, is this more important than the priorities that I want to put on the budget? Thank you, Mr. President.
Any questions on the goldenrod? Senator Vasey.
Just a question for the appropriation chairman. On this court case, was there a period of time to pay that back? I mean, I'm not suggesting either way, but was that ruling to say that over a period of years that money had to be paid back?
Senator Nicholas.
President, a couple things. With respect to the counties, remember, if the companies paid it into protest, the dollars are in escrow. The companies did not pay their dollars to the state under protest. Those dollars are in our profile. With respect to the payback period, I don't know. My experience is that, generally speaking, the state either pays it right to check back now, or you credit against your future taxes, but in most instances, you credit in the following year. So right now, our revenues are based upon the revenue flow that we anticipate receiving during the second year of this biennium, and I would anticipate, I'm not certain, but that is the period during which you would see the credit. So either way, we see a revenue loss. Now, ongoing, as I understand, is about $20 million per year ongoing. So this is, there'll be a credit or a rebate. There's likely to be a credit or rebate. I know the Attorney General's office is still investigating, but there's likely to be a credit or rebate of $27 million that's already been paid off. In future years, we are likely to see about a $20 million per year, I think, loss to our revenue as a result of the decision. So the idea or the recommendation from our staff right now is that we don't worry about that $20 million. We'll take care of that as we come up with our budget next year. But the $27 million hit is real, and if that's either credited or paid back, either way, the impact is the same to us.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I read somewhere, and I don't know, that there was a bill to change the flow of money into the Department of Transportation by $54 million a year. I couldn't find that in here. Is that taken into account? That would appear to me to decrease revenue to the general fund, is my understanding by that amount. Is that in here anyway?
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I have the same understanding, Mr. Yeah, it's not profiled yet. House Bill 208, and as I understand, it's not profiled yet, and it does it takes out a couple of accounts and moves around, and I'm not sure the full impact of that, and I'm not sure why it's not profiled. I will investigate that, and I'll have an answer for you today.
Further questions? Thank you, Chairman Nichols. Senate files on second reading. Senate file 117, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file number 117, sponsored by Senator Peterson, Critical Access or Rural Hospital Endowment Program.
There is an amendment, second reading amendment number 1, to Senate File 117, the Jennings Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment in?
Senate File number 117, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 8.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 1 on Senate File 117, second reading. All this does is go to, doesn't touch anything in the bill whatsoever. It just goes to page 9, line 12, and removes the section 2 that is the descriptive section with all the findings of the legislature. I think this is a good bill. I think we should follow through with it, but I think the bill should stand on its own merit once it gets in the book. And if nothing else, we're going to save a whole page worth of trees on this much of the description on the findings. And again, I'd ask to just support this amendment and take out the findings.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Peterson.
Mr. President, I would agree this is a friendly amendment, and I would certainly support this amendment.
The question is, on second reading amendment number 1, the Senate File 117, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Second reading, Amendment Number 1 to Senate Policy 117, that does pass. Senator Hines.
Mr. President, there was a question that came up about the different counties and the mill levy, and I know the sponsor of the bill handed out something to do with that, but I was looking on some of the sources that I have in my supply of papers, and it appears to me that a lot of counties are not using the three mills, and I'm a little confused that the one source I see says there's 10 counties that does not use the three mills for hospitals. So I was wondering if the sponsor could kind of check that out and help us understand that before third reading, because if there's 17, I think there, you know, there'd be 14 counties or 15 that are not assessing any mill levy for hospitals. And so my question is the communities are not stepping up and helping themselves. Why are we being asked for it as a state? And I'm not sure my information is correct, so I would ask if the sponsor could help us get some information so we can understand this correctly by third reading.
Senator Coe.
Yeah, Mr. President, thank you. Just to help clarify maybe a little bit if I can, and I had a good discussion with a good senator from Albany County about the statutes over there, but there's two ways you can fund hospitals. You can do it right within the county can do it, or you can actually go out and create a special district and have elected trustees. That's where I think the differential is why some counties don't show up with the three mills here for the benefit of the majority floor leader. So that's what I think is going on. There are some counties that just don't have special hospital districts. And that's why you only see a few out there with three mills.
Further discussion? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. In doing some research on that spreadsheet that was handed out this morning, there are those three mill levies for the hospital districts, and then just underneath, I'm referring to the, yours is two pages, just underneath that, the hospital district voter approved the additional three mill. And going down the list, the 14 critical access hospitals, Cody has their three, Powell has their three, Lovell has their six mill, so they've voted to approve that additional three mill. Worland does not have a mill levy at all. Basin, which is South Freeport Hospital, has their six mill also. Demopolis does not. Afton has their three mill. Sundance has their three. Wheatland has their three. Newcastle, three. Buffalo, three. Douglas, three. And Lusk, six mills. So they both themselves their three additional mill levy. Torrington, privately held hospital, that doesn't have any mill levy attached at all. Rawlings has no mill levy, and Kemmer has three mills. So hopefully that clarifies a little bit of the mill levies that have been issued by these counties and these districts. So there's also, as you look down that spreadsheet, you'll know Bighorn and Niagara are the only two that have those additional three mill levies. And I don't know what that rural health district is. On Bighorn counties, there are two mills. But you can tell by some of these county figures that there are some smaller counties out there doing all they can to help themselves by issuing these mills. And we jokingly were talking about this morning as far as these smaller rural counties with these mill levies and how much they would actually raise. And I jokingly commented that perhaps a good bake sale in Teton County would equal the amount raised by some of these mill levies in these rural counties. And so we have to consider that. The important thing here is to remember that these smaller counties, these districts, I believe in my mind, are helping themselves as much as they possibly can. We know what bond issues and additional mill levies are very hard to pass. And the other question that I talked to the good senator from Teton County about his additional concern yesterday was these optional sales tax, the 1 cent sales tax and the 6 cent sales tax. And those appropriations, those mill, those collections can go directly towards capital construction projects. And in Teton County, as I understand it, they're using theirs specifically for the hospital district there. I do know that in our particular county, in Bighorn, that optional sales tax has been passed, and as is evidenced on that printout. So my point, fellow senators, is that these smaller districts are doing all that they can to help themselves. There was one last handout that we gathered from the Wyoming Hospital Association, a two-page handout. This was the tax subsidies summary. To the far left, if you look at that, you'll see the letters CAH, that's the critical access hospitals, and then the two that we're also considering in Lincoln and Clarkin counties are the rural hospitals in Kemmer and also in Rawlins. And it will give you their tax allocation for 2005 and 2006, and then a little history of their districts and the mill levies that they've collected and the number of years that they've had those districts and mill levies imposed. The second page is basically their foundation balances. And if you'd make one notation on this, the good senator from Douglas informed me that balance is not correct. It's actually closer to $20,000 of a recent donation that was made to that foundation. And so that balance is not zero, it's $20,000. But you'll notice the 6 penny sales tax, no one is assessing that in these districts. And so I tried to provide you with all the information that I could gather in a day and to give you a clearer picture of what these districts are doing for themselves and what more they could do. Still, it comes down to the decision of priorities. I understand that. I'd like to thank the good chairman from Appropriations for giving that rousing pep talk just before I stood, and I would question his timing, but that's okay. Being an Appropriations Committee member, I understand the concerns there. The good senator from Albany County brought to my attention in the recent paper just this morning, as we talked about the federal cuts and President Bush's budget, proposed budget. The article in today's paper, where it talks about, as I tried to point out yesterday, the cuts in Medicaid, Medicare, the dollars that they're looking at saving there and how that's going to affect these rural hospitals. And I'll quote from that article. It says, Bush also proposed modest cuts to the rapidly growing Medicare and Medicaid health care programs that failed to address chronic shortfalls in future years that would force painful sacrifices on beneficiaries. Instead, Medicare providers such as hospitals, nursing homes, and home care providers would face payment cuts, while higher-income beneficiaries would pay greater premiums. So we know the hurt's coming, and my proposal, or my, I would submit, is the hurt's going to be felt first and foremost by these rural hospitals. And then I guess we have to ask the question, what do we foresee as services in these rural areas if these hospitals go down? We've already lost two, and they've been resurrected from the local constituencies and health. And it's a vital concern for myself living in this, one of these rural areas, and I hope it is for these good senators here today. And so I would ask and urge for your support on this bill.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I, too, would urge your favorable consideration of this bill. And I would just quickly like to say that as you look at the figures and the facts that have been presented this morning, I think there's ample evidence that considerable effort is being put forth by these small hospitals and these communities. And in regard to one of the figures that's offered at the top of the foundation balances and whatnot, these figures were gathered rather hurriedly, and we're still in the process of trying to confirm some of those. But the two hospitals that are in my district I'd like to call attention to, and the one being at the top of the list, and that balance there, I think the comment that was made that I recall just recently, a $20,000 gift or grant that was given within the community that came out of that. But I think that figure, and again, I'm trying to confirm that it's closer to $250,000. And then you go on down further to the county that's actually third from the bottom, which is in the south of my district. You can see that for a small county of a population of about 8,000, the kind of effort and the kind of value that these people place in regard to good health care. And there's a building project going on there that's got some funds from the state-owned investment board, along with a considerable amount of participation from the community. So there is a value, there is a need, there is, a distinct demonstrated effort to bring these forward. I know in the past, in regard to the hospital in Commerce County at the top of the list, they just undergone a considerable building and renovation effort. I think it was upwards of $1 million that was put into that from the community out of that foundation. So I simply want to say that I would hope that you would look upon this bill favorably. This would give these, I think, small communities an opportunity to take the effort that they put forth, but also to leverage those in order to bring us all closer to what we've been working so hard is to bring accessible health care to some of these rural communities. So, again, I would ask your favorable consideration.
Further discussion. Senate File 117, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senate File 135, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File number 135, sponsored by Senator Burns, Wolf Management.
Senate File 135, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senate File 145, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File number 145, sponsored by Senator Johnson, Public Works Contract, Resident Preferences.
Senate File 145, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senate File 152, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File number 152, sponsored by Senator Feck, Illegal Drug Laboratories Remediation of Buildings.
Senate File 152, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senate File 165, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File number 165, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, Public Employees Retirement Health Premiums Assistance.
We do have an amendment, second reading amendment number one, the Senate File 165, the Scott Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File number 165, second reading amendment number one, page 16, line 14.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, what this amendment does is simply put in sentences of precaution that in case our health care system so changes that retirees no longer have to pay health insurance premiums, that the money is available for something else that will benefit the retirees. It's their money. We need this protection. Frankly, I think the system is going to change. I don't care to predict to you when, and it's hard to know exactly how, but I think it'd be useful to have this precaution in there right at the outset so they aren't trapped. Recognizing, Mr. President, that depending on how the feds finally do something, you may still get trapped. But this is, I think, the best precaution that at least I can come up with that we can take, and I hope it will be viewed as a friendly amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Is it friendly amendment? A friendly amendment. Remember, these funds are retirement funds. They belong to the employees, and in the end of the day, how they spend their retirement dollars is up to them.
Question is, on second reading amendment number one, the Senate File 165, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Second reading amendment number one, the Senate File 165, does pass. Senate File 165, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senate File 166, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File number 166, sponsored by Senator Hines, Drilling Reports Confidentiality.
Senate File 166, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 169, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File number 169, sponsored by Senator Scott, Workers' Compensation Amendments.
Senate File 169, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 175, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File number 175, sponsored by Senator Job, Healthcare Providers at Correctional Facilities.
We do have an amendment, second reading amendment number one, to Senate File 175, the Job Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 175, second reading amendment number one, page 2, line 7.
Senator Job.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 175 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. Mr. President, this does two things, even though it looks long, it does only two things. It adds optometrists to the list in the bill of contract healthcare providers who would be covered under the state health insurance pool and the local government insurance pool when they are providing services in our state institutions or county jails. And so that just creates that consistency throughout in all of that phrasing. And the second thing this does is it goes into page 6, line 9, and it deletes local government correctional facilities and inserts county jails. Again, county jails is the wording that we've used throughout that bill, and this, that was one place we missed it. So, Mr. President, that's all it does. I would ask for I would answer questions or ask for the question on the amendment.
The question is on second reading, amendment number one, the Senate File 175. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That amendment does pass. Back on the bill. Senate File 175, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 178, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File number 178, sponsored by Senator Barrasso, Specialty Hospitals 2.
Senate File 178, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senator Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. President. The question was asked with regard to House Bill 208, whether it should be told filed on the goldenrod. As the bill passed the Committee of the Whole in the House, it has a delayed implementation such that it only begins to impact the next biennium. As a result, there's no fiscal impact to this biennium, and that's the reason there's no profile for it.
Senator Barrasso.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. There are a number of builders here from around the state of Wyoming. They're members of a statewide organization, Wyoming Associated Builders, here in the gallery. I would ask that they please all rise. I ask that the Senate please make them a call.
Bills on third reading and final passage. Majority Florida. Do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. Senate File 26, Port of Entry Mutual Aid Agreements. Senate File 31, Automobile Joint Title Transfer. Senate File 101, Child Predator Tracking. Senate File 131, Wyoming Cancer Control Act. Senate File 139, Real Estate Agents, Heirs and Omissions Insurance. Senate File 148, Public Improvement Construction. Senate File 156, Overspending Budget Penalties. Senate File 163, Maximum speed limit vehicle for weather emergencies, Senate File 171, certification of documents, Senate File 173, state employee compensation.
Senate File 26, ports of entry mutual aid agreements, Senate File 31, automobile joint title transfer, Senate File 101, child predator tracking, Senate File 131, Wyoming Cancer Control Act, Senate File 139, real estate agents, errors and omissions insurance, Senate File 148, public improvement construction, Senate File 156, overspending budget penalties, Senate File 163, maximum speed limit, vehicle or weather emergencies, Senate File 171, certification of documents, and Senate File 173, state employee compensation, are all on the consent list. Are there any bills that any senator wish to have taken off the consent list? Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, I've asked the Senate File 101 and Senate File 131 be taken off the consent list.
Are there any other bills that any senator would like taken off of the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 26, Ports of Entry Mutual Aid Agreements, Senate File 31, Automobile Joint Titles Transfer, Senate File 139, Real Estate Agents, Error and Omissions Insurance, Senate File 148, Public Improvement Construction, Senate File 156, Overspending Budget Penalties, Senate File 163, Maximum Speed Limit, Vehicle or Weather Emergencies, Senate File 171, Certification of Documents, and Senate File 173, State Employee Compensation. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Aye. Allman? Aye. Barrasso? Aye. Burns? Aye. Case? Aye. Ho? Aye. Cooper? Aye. DiCaria? Aye. Beck? Aye. Geis? Aye. Hastert? Aye. Hines? Aye. Jennings? Aye. Joe? Aye. Johnson? Aye. Larson? Massey, Meyer, Moffler, Nicholas,
aye.
Peck excused, Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions, Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Bonslater,
aye.
President Schiffer,
aye.
Closing vote closed. On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 26, are there any changes? Closing vote closed. Senate File 26, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 31, are there any changes? Closing vote closed. Senate File 31, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 139, are there any changes? Closing vote closed. Senate File 139, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 148, are there any changes? Closing vote closed. Senate File 148, 29 ayes, 1 excused. Senate File 156. Are there any changes? Ross? Aye to no. Perkins? Aye to no. Burns? Aye to no. Joe? Aye to no. Sessions? Aye to no. Mockler? Aye to no. DiCaria? Aye to no. Massey? Aye to no. Allman? Aye to no. Case? Aye to no. Vasey? Aye to no. Closing votes. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 156, 18 ayes, 11 noes, 1 excuse. Senate File 163, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 163, 29 ayes, 1 excuse. Senate File 171, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 171, 29 ayes, 1 excuse. And Senate File 173, are there any changes? Burns, aye to no. And Meyer, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Poe, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 173. 24 ayes, 5 noes, and 1 excuse.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 26, Ports of Entry Mutual Aid Agreements, Senate File 31, Automobile Joint Titles Transfer, Senate File 139, Real Estate Agent Errors and Omissions Insurance, Senate File 148, Public Improvement Construction, Senate File 156, Overspending Budget Penalties, Senate File 163, Maximum Speed Limit Vehicle or Weather Emergencies, Senate File 171, Certification of Documents, and Senate File 173, State Employees Compensation, have all passed the Senate. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 101 pass the Senate? Senator Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. President. As we begin down this last few weeks of our session, it's now time that you take a special look at all the bills that have appropriations. With respect to this bill, what I've just ask you to think about is that, first of all, I understand that the sponsor has worked hard on this bill. This is the second year he's brought it forward. But there are some concerns that I still have with the bill. I submit to you this is a bill that principally because of the work of the sponsor, deserves interim study. But it still has some concepts that are not fully well worked out. It's a new program. It's intended that the program will expand. We have not done a good job yet of trying to identify the people who are going to be tracked. There are passive systems that might be adequate for some offenders. There is active systems that would be appropriate for others. There's the issue with respect to whether or not we're trying to find situational predators or those that have a demonstrated preference and that are out seeking folks. And so it's an appropriation. It's a concept that really ought to be studied more. It ought to be put into an interim committee. We ought to figure out and make sure that as we begin the process, that these programs are well understood before we begin the pilot programs, before we commit to spending not only dollars in this biennium, but dollars thereafter. I understand that the notion is it's a pilot program, but it's still not well identified. Who are the people that deserve this? How are we going to identify them? And that is, I submit to you, a proper function of interim study.
Further discussion on Senate File 101. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. In committee of the whole, I urge caution on this bill, and I continue to urge caution given the work of your Judiciary Committee and the bill that will be coming to you in the very near future. In relationship to Adam Walsh. When you read that bill and you see what we are doing, I submit to you that doing this pilot project at this point in time is premature. Not only are we having to, as we proceed through, a new computer system for the Attorney General to be able to track these sex offenders, we now are going to do a pilot project with this bill. I submit to you that we first ought to get our handles around what we're doing with the Adam Walsh and sex offender tracking before we start implementing a new pilot project. So I urge your caution in that regard.
Further discussion. Senator Jennings.
The reason that you have this bill in front of you is because we do need some caution in the state. As far as putting a new program together, this type of thing has been done in several other states. The manufacturers that we'd be renting this equipment from are more than willing to come in and help us set up the system with no additional cost to us. Matter of fact, they've even one manufacturer I talked to since Committee of the Whole even agreed to bring us in at a better discount rate so that we'd get a better bang for a buck and include all the reporting and everything that we would need to do to collect the data to present so that we make sure that this pilot project runs. Texas Department of Criminal Justice, we're the largest program in the country. They have 1,500 active systems on there. It runs. It works. Oklahoma Department of Corrections, they have 400 passive systems. It runs. It works. It's not a thing that we're coming in this great big setup and new computers and everything that we need for this. It's not. We go in there, we identify the sex offender free zones, and we see how the equipment and how the people wearing the equipment operate around these sex offender free zones. Sooner or later, we're going to have something like this in place as the Adam Walsh stuff comes down the pipe. Sooner or later, we're going to be required by the federal government to track these folks. Sooner or later, we're going to have to be able to say, this is the person that gets this kind of system and this kind of system. This is the place to do it. This bill passed out of here last year. Someplace else ran out of time, didn't get it introduced to the body. We supported it last year. There was no talk of last year that we needed an interim study. If we needed an interim study on it, we should have had it over this last summer. It wasn't brought up. This is the way to do it. Put the pilot project out there. Take the concentration in the states that we have the highest or the most number of these people.
They're tagged that they're on the registry and they've done a child sex offense. That's how you get put on there. We need the data to decide what we're going to do in the future. And I'd ask you to vote favorably on the bill.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I recognize the efforts of the sponsor here. And there's a very clear intention on I think, on his part and on part of the bill in order to get at what I think is a hideous crime. Last Friday, when I was gone off the floor, I had the occasion to go attend a kind of an orientation session with the U.S. Attorney in regard to child predators. It was one of the most informational meetings that I've ever attended, and I was only able to be there about an hour and a half. But it was one of the most disturbing things that I've ever been involved in, and there wasn't a lot of visual and graphics and whatnot, but descriptions in regard to what was going on. I was virtually rattled and disturbed all day, even Friday afternoon as I came back on the floor. There were things I couldn't get off my mind. The point of it is it's a huge problem, and it's growing, and it's an immense problem in regard to the number of people that are participating in the Internet. The thing that came out of this, as we go out and try to do the bus and the track and whatnot, the most overriding objective in all this is to rescue the children. Then we will take care of others to get children out of the situation. But not to stray too far from what's in the bill, I would simply say that there's going to be a significant amount of effort put forth through that office, DCI, and other local law enforcement to concentrate on this huge emerging problem that's occurring in Wyoming. And so there's going to be further studies coming out of that group in regard to the direction that needs to be taken. And we've also heard testimony in regard to the Judiciary Committee in regard to their looking at that whole issue. So without going on in a lot of detail, I look at the amount of money that's on the back of this bill, and I think, how might this be used in other ways as we study this in order to get at the problem, first and foremost, to rescue the children and to get our arms around this thing in regard to modern technology, what's going on the Internet. I can really appreciate the sponsor's intention here, but I think that this is a little before its time. I think we need to step back, take a look at what's going to come out of the judiciary, what's going to come out of the study group of the U.S. Attorney and the DCI, and then take these funds an appropriate place these things so that we can indeed get our arms around this. So, you know, it's kind of regretfully that I say that I would hope that we would wait on this and bring it back another time after we've really got, a clearer impression of what's going on. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Peck.
Mr. President, I would address the issue that the sponsor has mentioned. And he used the word terminology, sooner or later, we're going to have to address this issue. This was one of the four areas that I campaigned under very heavily. And I can tell you that from Senate District 5, the response was overwhelming and very clear that the answer to that question is sooner, not later. And so I would rise up in support of this legislation because I know that the people from my district have made it very clear to me that they want this issue addressed right now. And I clearly applaud that we will be working on some Adam Walsh information in the near future, but I think that can be folded into this very well, and would ask for your support on this legislation.
Further discussion? Senator Pyle, one. Senator Zinn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Some of you got this email. Please don't let my children become victims of sex things. I, Stephanie Raines, am a proud parent and chairman of the board of the Montessori School Council. We are begging you to vote yes on Stop the Senate File 101. As citizens, we voted you in office to be the voice of the people and the voice of our innocent children. Please represent us today by keeping them safe while they grow and mature in our families. Please vote yes on Senate File 101 and stop the predators from lurking around our school every day. Now, I have to admit that when I go home, I'll give my daughter a good test.
Further discussion?
Senate File 101, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Almond? Barrasso? Burns? Case? Coe? Cooper? DiCaria? Beck? Geist? Hastert? Hines? Jennings? Joe? Johnson? Larson? Massey? Meyer? Mockler? Nicholas? Peck excused? Perkins? Peterson? Ross? Scott? Sessions? Townsend? Basie? Fonslatern? President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 17 ayes, 12 noes, 1 excused.
Senate File 101, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 101 has passed the Senate. Senate File 131, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File number 131, sponsored by Senator Scott, Wyoming Cancer Control Act, an act relating to public health, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. With respect to Senate File 131, when you begin to evaluate whether you're going to lend this bill your support, remember that the Department of Health budget is going to increase by about 50% over this biennium. We're putting a lot of money in areas that require money into existing programs. This is a new program. It puts the state into into the business of funding cancer treatment or cancer detection that we've not previously been into. This is a program that will double in size, so it'll be closer to $10 million in the next biennium. It's a program that will expand to bring other forms of cancer. It's a program that does not target those people that are needy. Many of the recipients have insurance. It invokes a new novel idea or concept that what we'll do, is pay for this these procedures and then look to the insurance commissioner to ensure that the cost savings to insurance companies is felt by the insured population. So that as you begin to look at the program, are we going to embark into this area where we're going to be the first party to be paying for cancer control? And where are we going to start and where are we going to end? I urge your caution.
Further discussion, Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, yes, the health department budget is growing. A number of reasons for that. The principal one is that as Wyoming has done better economically, the way the federal matching shares work in the Medicaid program, our match is declined from nearly two-thirds federal, one-third state, to now, as of October, exactly 50-50. So we've had to make up the difference because we can afford it. That hasn't bought any more health care for the citizens of Wyoming. It's just kept up with the existing program. Our alternative to do it is to abolish the Medicaid program, and we simply can't afford to do that. That would have horrendous consequences. So the health department budget's grown there. Second reason is cost of health care is increasing. All of you are seeing it in private health insurance. And then we've also done some things primarily in the mental health area. What this bill does is it gets us into the cancer prevention area in an area where the average citizen
has great difficulty affording the needed procedures to call an officer. That's where the big money is. There's money for some of the breast cancer prevention as well in here. That will save lives. That will reduce the incidence of colorectal cancer. And we all know from personal experience the toll that that can take. This bill is, I think, one of the more cost-effective preventive measures that we can take, life-saving. And then it comes down to a matter of priorities. And, Mr. President, the Appropriations Chairman is right that we need to set some priorities. We're doing a few things in this section in the area of health care. This is an additional thing, and I think it's very important. Have you heard during the campaign, as you talk at home, the number of your constituents that are concerned about the health care costs? This will help with that. It will provide a very real help to people who have particularly high deductible insurance, which is becoming more and more common, and simply can't afford this very important preventive measure. Well, Mr. President, as a matter of priorities, I urge the Senate to pass this bill and let's get going on this prevention means, because it's one of the more effective things we can do to improve the health of our citizens and to make health care more affordable for our citizens, Mr. President.
Thank Senate File 131, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Would the reading clerk please call the roll?
Henderson? Aye. Allman? Aye. Barrasso? Aye. Burns? Aye. Case? Aye. Poe? Aye. Cooper? Aye. DiCaria? Beck? Geis? Hastert? Hines? Aye. Jennings? Job, Johnson, Larson, Massey, Meyer, Mockler, Nicholas, Peck, excuse, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Scott, Sessions, Townsend, Vasey, Von Slatern, President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 25 ayes, 4 noes, 1 excuse.
Senate File 131, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 131 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into the committee of the whole.
The motion is for the Senate to resolve itself in the committee of the whole. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senator Peterson.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 17. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill number 17, sponsored by the School Facilities Committee. School Facilities, Major Maintenance Enforcement, an act relating to school facilities. January the 29th, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cole, Jennings, Massey, Von Flatern. Excuse Senator Peck, Senator Co-Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Cole.
I would move the committee to hold rise and report a due bill with the due pass recommendation on House Bill 17 and defer to Senator Von Flatern for an explanation of the bill.
Thank you. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow Senators, House Bill number 17, School Facilities Major Maintenance Enforcement. Most of it is existing language, and the reason for the enforcement aspect, you turn to page 2, at the top page 2, line 2 at the end there, it says, it describes what the money is supposed to be used for today, and it shall be restricted. The money that they set aside for major maintenance shall be restricted to expenses incurred. The major building and facility repair and replacement is defined in subsection A of this section and as prescribed by rule and regulation of the commission. So it's all existing language that tells them X number of square footage, you get this amount of money to take care of major maintenance, you'll set it in a separate account, and you'll do as you said and per your own plan that was submitted to the commission. You turn to page 3 on the top of page 3, it starts out with no expenditures shall be made from separate accounts from the separate account unless the repair or replacement of the building or facility systems for which the expenditure is to be made is clearly specified within the district facility plan or otherwise approved by the commission. So there, once again, you have a plan, you submit it, it's approved by them, and unless there's an emergency in which you've gone in front of them and said we have an extra problem, additional money, or can we spend this money in a slightly different way, without their permission, that money is set to be spent on what they've approved. That's always existed, or has existed the last couple of years. What is new is there was no way to say what we would do should we take those funds and spend them in some other way. That is the new language on page 3, line 17, where it says if any district expends the funds within a separate account for purposes not authorized by this subsection or by rule and regulation of the committee, payments to that district shall be reduced by the amount of the unauthorized expenditure in the school year following the year in which the expenditure was discovered by the commission or in the school year in which the notification was provided by the commission, whichever first occurs. So if you do take some of this money that was set aside per the formula, per your plan on what you're, how you're going to take care of your existing buildings and you spend it somewhere else, then in the next year, they will deduct that amount from the amount you would receive for major maintenance per the formula. Very simple, and that's the only change to it. Just showing enforcement for what already existed. And I'll answer the question, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, my question is what's the need for this bill? Are we seeing abuses in the school districts, or is this just one more way where a bureaucracy is trying to control the details of what our school districts are doing? Are they, you know, if we have evidence that the school districts are going out, building new buildings, adding on to buildings, doing things that are well outside their plan, then it seems to me there's some justification for this. If there's disputes over what's major maintenance and minor maintenance, if what's going on is that in today's climate, say they're going to replace the roof on a school, and they have two schools doing it and they have to spend it all on one, is that a violation because they spent more on one school? I'm trying to get a feel as to what's the problem we're preventing. Because I think unless there is a problem, it would be best not to have this kind of detailed control and detailed subservience of an elected board to our state bureaucracy. So I'm looking for evidence of the evil we're trying to correct here.
Senator Cole.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not saying anything's going on out there that's evil. But we have looked at, well, districts have to submit a five-year plan. There's a bill out there now that says that has to be updated more periodically. But I want to say clearly there has been some question out there as to how some of the districts have in fact spent their major maintenance money. Now, this is a huge ticket item in school finance. You know, major maintenance payments that go out to districts, it's a big number. It's not a small number. We bring this bill, the Joint Education Committee, after testimony, just to say, we're sending you major maintenance money, spend it that way. Make sure you spend it that way. There's not necessarily evil stuff going on out there, but there's clearly a question of how some of the major maintenance dollars have been spent out there. That's what the bill does. It's not meant to take away any local control. Local control, if you want to think about local control, it's going way back to Campbell 1 to 6. But there is concern, and I would urge you to support the bill. Major maintenance payments are out there for a purpose, and let's make sure that that's what they're used for.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it does strike me that absent some evidence of a real problem, that this is just for enforcement of some of the bureaucratic procedures and something we'd probably be better off without.
Senator Von Fleeter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really didn't look at it as needing evidence to write this in. I think what I looked at it as was that we forgot to write it in. We said you're going to, you know, you've all agreed to take state money based on a certain formula to take care of your major maintenance, and then all of a sudden, well, what if they don't do that? So I thought it was just more that we forgot that it wasn't written in and it should have been there to begin with. And not that we need to say the school districts are not doing this, or here's a list of things that they've gone circumvented the system as it is in place. I think this is just almost a cleanup.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So many times we get involved with semantics, but I think as we look at this bill in regard to evidence, it might be in way of a preposition of whether we're looking at evidence of abuse, or the evidence, perhaps, possibility for abuse. And I think that that's the evidence that would be best offered, given the significant amounts of money that are moved around in this regard, the evidence would be then for abuse.
Senator DiCaria.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe the sponsors could explain to us how the tracking is going on. Obviously, there's a need there some way. This money is being sent to districts. They're spending it in some ways, and obviously there must be some tracking mechanism for the dollars coming back into the system. And so either it's pointing to that these dollars is an abuse that's been going on, or it points to that there's not an abuse. And so I would like to hear a little bit about how, you know, how are we tracking the dollars, and how might we even know this is going on?
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, the language that we're seeing inserted here is pretty close, almost exactly the same language that is already in other parts of the law concerning the general operations money that we provide to school districts. So the safeguard is in there already for almost all the money, a large share of the money that's already gone to school districts, and we're just simply duplicating it here on the capital construction and major maintenance side. A reminder also for folks that right now, presently in statute, that each school district can spend up to 10% of their major maintenance payments per year for things that are not in their five-year plan. For something that comes up totally at their own discretion, they can go ahead and spend the money in up to 10% and then let the school facilities commission know later. This is a safeguard that we're putting into statute right now. And like I said, it's duplicated elsewhere for the school foundation account. That in those instances where it is very clear that school districts are not spending their money as they had promised or as they should be, that the school facilities commission will be able to recoup it. So it is a safeguard. It's already in statute, and there's already discretion elsewhere in statute for the school districts to go ahead and spend up to 10% of their money.
Senator Cole.
Mr. Chairman, to try to answer the good senator from Willamette County, the way that gets tracked, my understanding about this track, is through their five-year plan, you know, what they're spending money on. Grade school X over here, in year number two, we're going to put a new roof on it. That's how I think it gets tracked. Now, there is a bill working its way through here that says the School Facilities Commission will review the five-year plan more frequently than every 5 years. I can't remember if it's every 2 years. I think it is every 2 years. But anyway, that's how I think it gets tracked out there. And if you want a more definitive answer, I'd be more than happy to try to find that for you.
Senator James.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you go through the year and you will look at the school audit report, there's a lot of discrepancies in those reports. It's not anything that's done on purpose. It's just that they may look at the rules one way. I think my favorite one is when they go get a new bus, they forget to deduct the straighten on the old bus and things like that. And the same thing can happen here. If they fail to do it on the regular day-to-day operations, like the senator from Laramie County pointed out, there's mechanisms to go ahead and deduct that from the next payment and whatnot. And now this is an ability to do the same thing. There's no evil. There's no people out there plotting to figure out how to move this maintenance money around. But they could miscalculate it. They could make a small mistake. And the money goes over here instead of over here. And this is all this is a mechanism to put it back where we're supposed to do.
Further discussion on the bill? Question been called? All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 17, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House bill has passed the committee of the whole. I thought for sure I'd done something wrong. Next House bill for our consideration is House Bill 21. Reading clerk will read in the House bill.
House Bill number 21, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Child Support Income Withholding, and Act Relating to Child Support Enforcement. It was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amendment. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCarrier, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions. Senator Ross, Chairman.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise report, it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 21. There is a standing committee amendment, and it has to be read in at this time.
House Bill 21, standing committee amendment number 1, page 1, line 11.
Chairman, I move adoption of the standing committee amendment, and I will discuss it as I go through the bill, and then we'll ask for your favorable consideration of the standing committee amendment and the bill. This bill is brought to you by your Joint Judiciary Committee interim. It was brought during at the request of your clerks of district court and other entities such as the Department of Family Services. You know, I just hate these child support bills. I've been doing them for so long that every time I'm kind of like a poster child for child support. Chaired committees for child support and whatnot, but it is important. But at some point in time, we just got stopped these days. In any event, this is an important bill because it codifies what really goes on in the world of sending out notices to not only the obligor, the person that is responsible for child support. Notice for the obligee, who is the person who's receiving child support, and the payor, which is the employer who pays out of the employee's salary the the child support. So what we've done with this bill is just is modify it and actually try to reduce some costs. On page 2, you'll see that we've added some language on lines 3 through 5, which is notice to payor. We just cleaned it up and said it's notice that goes to the employer about income withholding. On 20-6-203, we add in first-class mail. Now, this is a new thing, but it is important to the Department of Family Services because they send out a number of notices, and right now they're required to do it by certified mail. We're allowing them to do this by first-class mail, but there are some protections later on if there is any legal action to be taken against the payor for failing to pay the employee's child support that has to be actual service and a hearing and so forth. So we've just kind of cleaned up that language. The notice to payor, normally what happens is you have two different kinds of cases, 40 cases, which are cases in which there are public benefits being paid to on behalf of the children, and in those cases, the Department of Family Services in 4D is the collection entity that actually does the enforcement and collection of the child support. And in those 4D cases, it's the department that actually sends out the notice. In non-4D cases, a lot of divorce cases and so forth that I work on, it's the obligation of the attorneys or the obligor or the obligee to make sure that the notices go out. What has happened is you file the notice with the clerk. It's not the clerk that sends out the notices. And so what this bill does is basically conform with what actually goes on, which is that the clerk is doing that is not sending out the notice, but it is either the department or the obligor or the obligee through their attorney. You'll notice that we did include on page 3, a reference to a 15 U.S.C. 1673. In terms of withholding orders, there's only a certain percentage of money that can come out, and we reference federal statute, which puts restrictions on garnishments. And so you cannot exceed the maximum amount that's set by federal law. We've changed on pages 4 and 5 just some language to show that, you know, it's the department acting pursuant to 20-6-105-4D shall prepare and file with the clerk, and then the copies are mailed out of the withholding orders. The penalties we kind of moved them around in 20-6-218, struck some language and added a new paragraph on page 7 that says it's still the same penalty, that if a payor, which is the employer, fails to pay the child support on behalf of the employee, it could be subject to a $200 penalty. There's a caveat, and that's paragraph D below that on page 7. It says penalties under this section shall not be imposed unless service of the notice to payor was completed by sending certified mail, return receipt requested, or upon personal service. So we've built in the protection that ultimately, one, we can save some costs, but if it comes down to the fact that the payer is not paying the child support on behalf of the employee, you'll have to serve them as you'd normally serve them and have proof of that service. Now, the standing committee amendment, it looks rather lengthy, but it is not. It was actually in the bill from the Joint Interim Committee, and then the House took that paragraph out. Your Senate Judiciary Committee chose to put that back in. When I made reference to the fact that I hate doing all these child support bills, well, one of the child support bills that I did a few years ago was this paragraph C in the Standing Committee Amendment. It was specifically asked for by the department because we were having trouble keeping track of the obligor who may work for, let's say, an employment agency or may work through a union or something like that, and they get wind of the fact that child support order was coming and they switched jobs. And so we added in this paragraph to so that we could serve it upon those entities to try to make sure we keep up with the employee as he's moving around. Well, the department said, apparently said, not in my committee, but in the House, that they didn't really use it that much. But they really wanted it at one point in time, and I don't know why we don't still have it in those isolated cases where they can use it still. And so the committee felt that we should bring that paragraph into the bill, and the amendments in there are simply about filing with the clerk and then he sends out the notices. So I'd urge a favorable consideration of the standing committee amendment.
Question on the standing committee amendment? If not, all those in favor of Senator Rossi's motion to adopt the standing committee amendment, amendment number one to House Bill 21, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're back on the bill. Senator Ross?
Mr. Chairman, so basically what this bill does is modernize some language, makes it a little easier in terms of the cost to the Department of Family Services in terms of having to send out every notice certified mail. It gets quite expensive. And on the other hand, we did build protections in, particularly for the payor, that, you know, if they're not paying, then the next thing that happens is they're going to either get a certified mail or they're going to get actual service to process. That way, we're assured that the payor was given the appropriate notice, and I think it'll work fine, and it just kind of makes life a little bit easier also for the clerks of district court because they're really not the ones that send out the notices. So there's your favorable consideration.
Further discussion? Senator Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to know the sponsor. I think I've heard some discussion about the civil penalty thing, about how we cannot do it without due process. I wonder if the sponsor could address that a little bit.
Senator Ross.
It's really not that inconsistent. Actually, the only way to get the penalty is if you look on the page, back to the page 7. If they violate, they've got to basically fail to comply with an order of the court. And if there, and generally what happens is if there is a failure to comply with an order of the court, it's going to go back through the court system as to whether or not they're in contempt or failure to abide by a court order. So in that response to that, there is due process, and it's just not a board or an entity out there slapping somebody with a fine. Because since we started, this all started with welfare reform, and a major component of welfare reform was the collection of child support and the mandates that come down from the federal government in terms of how we collect our child support. And so when we did this, you know, things changed dramatically. The clerks of district court were always the ones that collected the child support. Well, now it's called an SDU, Single Disbursement Unit, which is basically Department of Family Services. So, but throughout that process, we have always maintained judicial control. There was always the feeling of both sides of the legislature that, you know, we wanted to keep this within the court system. There are some child support systems out there that that are totally administratively run. And we have chosen not to do that, but specifically to make sure that there's court oversight, and that way you protect your due process.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I heard what the proponent, good senator from Laramie County, Chairman of the Judiciary Committee, said about hating to do these child support bills. And I can understand that, Mr. Chairman. Committee 10 used to have jurisdiction over these things. I got it in the process of the welfare reform. And they are lengthy, complicated, technical. You have to be very careful because you know you've got parties with strong feelings that they're going to litigate. And it's hard, difficult work, but it's work that needs to be done. I would tell the Senate that when we started out in the welfare reform, 13% of child support obligations were collected in this state. And we were pretty typical across the country, I think. I don't know what the current figure is. Last I heard, it was well over half, somewhere in the 60% range. So we, with the efforts of particularly the good senator from Laramie County and a number of the other members of this body, we have made real strides in this area, and it's been a big improvement in keeping people meet their own obligations for their own children as opposed to just dumping those obligations on the public purse and the tax rates. And, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to say, take this opportunity to say on behalf of Committee 10, we appreciate the effort that the Judiciary Committee has put into this area. We hope they'll keep this part of the jurisdiction. It is hard technical work, and somebody needs to do it. And Mr. Chairman, if I may trespass a little on our customs, I would like to say that I really appreciate the hard work that the chairman of the Judiciary Committee from Laramie County has put into this area because he's made a big difference. So thank you very much, and we appreciate it.
Question's been called. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion that when the committee to hold rising report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 21, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 21 has passed the committee to hold. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 31.
House Bill number 31, Charter School Amendment, sponsored by the Education Committee, an act relating to charter schools. It was referred to Committee number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cole, Jennings, Massey, Von Platern, excuse Senator Peck, Senator Cole, Chairman.
Senator Cole.
Mr. President, or Mr. Chairman, I would move that when the committee of the whole right to report to do so with the due pass recommendation on House Bill 31, there is a standing committee amendment. I would move the standing committee amendment and defer to Senator Jennings for an explanation of the amendment and the bill.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is a result of a subcommittee of education over the interim. We looked at charter schools and what we could do. The biggest biggest request that we had out of this committee was to go out and develop a third-party group that would run the charter. So right now, according to state statute, the chartering organization goes to the local school board and convinces them to charter them. And there's been some problems in them. We did not go there in this bill. What we did is we worked with the State Education Department, and they are putting together a template, because there was none before this. They're putting a template together on the step-by-step process of how to do a charter school. That process could take about 7 or 8 months to get through, and it will require the chartering organization and the school board to sit down on sections of the 20-some issues that they have to review to develop a charter school.
What we did find, however, as we were going through this, that we needed to change was, you look at the bottom of page 2, line 24, what we have done is that we have said that you will, that the district board, if the district board denies the application, the board shall not later than 45 days following that date of its decision notify the applicants of the denial in writing together with its reasons for denial. We found that there's a little bit of a question on whether the school boards were really getting back to the people that were denied and telling them why. So we stuck that in there. And if you'll notice on the line 21 on page 3, we did the same thing for the charter organization if they want to appeal it. So school board says no. We have 45 days. The charter organization gets it. They have 45 days to decide whether or not they want to appeal it. And then it works its way up the ladder. The other thing that we found, it was kind of an interesting piece in there, that under current statute, we can charter a charter school for 5 years. And then we can re-charter it for another 5 years. And then we can't do anything after that. But basically, if we have a charter school, we have a 10-year school. And if they make it 10 years, there's going to be a successful school, and we'd want to renew that. So if you notice on page 3, starting on line 10, we struck a period, and then we put the successive periods and 5 years for each renewal period. That seemed to make everybody happy that if they had a successful charter school, that they could continue with it. Now, the amendment that was put on is actually one that was taken out of over on the other side. And it will go in page 1, line 9. No charter application shall be considered from any person, group, or organization that has previously filed a charter application which has been denied during the preceding 12-month period. This subsection shall apply only to applications filed on or after July 1, 2007. What it does is it says that you have your 45 days after they said no, you have your 45 days after you can appeal it, and then it requires everybody to sit down kind of in a cooling off period, so to speak, and decide how do we want to go forward. So it's one of those pieces in there that doesn't make or break the charter school application, but it does put in a good piece in there to kind of settle down, look at what's just happened, and decide how you want to go forward. So, Mr. Chairman, I would, since the amendment's already been moved, I would ask for,
hasn't been read in.
House Bill 31, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 1.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 31 and ask stand for questions or ask for your approval.
Any further discussion on Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 31? Hearing none. All those motion to accept Senator Coe's motion to adopt the Senate or Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate or House Bill 31. Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Amendment has passed. Back on the bill. Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the committee of the whole rises report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 31, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That House bill has passed the committee of the whole. Mr. Floor, Majority Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee of the whole rise and beg leave to sit again.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? No.
Yep, we read.
Reports from standing committees.
February the 5th, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 13, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barrasso, Geist, Hastert, Johnson, and Von Flatern, Senator Barrasso, Chairman. February the 6th, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 127, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Ullman, Burns, Cole, and Mockler. No, Senator Massey, Senator Burns, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears this session.
Mr. President, I move the Senate to in recess until 2 p.m.
Senator Geist.
Committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will meet after an adjournment tonight and catch up House Bill 125 in gross livestock brand, House Bill 76 livestock brand inspectors, House Bill 318 state land leasing procedures.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet shortly after recess today, Tuesday, February 6th at 12:30 up in S-16 in order to discuss House Bill 39, Volunteer Fireman Retirement, House Bill 278, School Capital Construction Reserve Account.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to consider the following House bills. House Bill 221, Controlled Substances Act, House Bill 121, Engrossed Child Support Enforcement Fees, that is Child Support Bill, House Bill 27, Interstate Compact for Arrest of Fugitives Repeal, and House Bill 36, Rape Shield Law.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, the bill that was just read in, House Bill 127, sponsored by the Joint Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources Committee, has an appropriation. I would ask that you re-refer it to committee number 2, Appropriations.
Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, February 7th, 20 minutes after noon recess in S-18. To consider House Bill 114, Tobacco Product Self-Service Display, House Bill 195, Engrossed, Killing or Injuring Police Animals, Felony, House Bill 227, Unfair Employment Practices, and House Bill 263, Oil and Gas Conservation Commission Rules, if time permits.
Senator Barrasso.
Mr. President, House Bill 15, State Employees Retirement Military Credit, has been read in earlier this morning, and it does contain an appropriation. I ask that please be referred to the appropriation committee.
Senator Barrasso, excuse me, what was the number on that one?
House Bill 15.
Hearing no objections, so ordered. Senator Hines.
Mr. President, I'd ask that the committee chairman would meet with me in my office very briefly, immediately upon adjournment, and I'd also like to invite the minority floor leader to join us.
Sounds like child abuse to me, but any other announcements? The motion is for the Senate to be in recess until 2 p.m. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. The Senate is in recess until 2 p.m.